Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Thankful and grateful to God for all He's blessed us with. Amen? So greetings and peace to you all this morning. This morning we will begin the Advent season leading to Christmas with candle lighting and the call to worship. Simon Halim and family will now light the candle of hope and read the scripture.
Hi, good morning, brothers and sisters. Let's read the Bible from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength as a light the candle of hope.
The spirit of thanksgiving is to give thanks with a grateful heart. As Christians, we should be this way all the time, not just once a year at Thanksgiving. So, for all the times that we have not been thankful or grateful, let's say together the confession of sin. Let's say together. Merciful God, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. Let's try to do it from memory. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. So in a spirit of thanksgiving, if there was any time you have not been thankful or grateful, pray silently to God and ask Him to forgive you personally. And I'll close in prayer. Dear God, you tell us in 1 Thessalonians 5 to be thankful in everything, in all circumstances. During this time at Thanksgiving, please remind us to always be grateful, always giving thanks, for you are good and you love us so. Thank you for your forgiveness. In your name we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Apostles' Creed, can we rise? Let's try to say together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please remain standing for praise. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 to 7.
Yeah. Jesus' birth, where we can remember that you're the Prince of Peace and you're bringing in peace into this world, Lord, and joy into this world, Lord. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for the season that we can just remember you, and would we be able to just really focus on you and to just honor you, Lord. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's say it again. Hallelujah with feeling. Hallelujah. There you go. There you go. Show them how. Yeah, that's the way to say it. So, it's great to be here today with everyone to sing hallelujah to the Lord and to praise together. And it's so wonderful to be led in such wonderful songs today and to have all of the Advent candles here and many different things that we have in this special season leading to Christmas. So as we have learned before and leading into today, Advent is expecting the coming of Jesus. And for this season, we're looking toward Christmas and remembering Jesus coming as a baby. But actually for us now living in the world that we're in today, we are expecting Jesus to come again. Not just at Christmas time where we celebrate with gifts and things like that or coming to church and celebrating in worship, but we are waiting for Jesus' return. And so that is the Advent, the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so it's a very exciting time. And in today's lesson, we're going to have another very exciting message. And it talks about being a symbol, right? Symbols that God gives to us in the world. So a symbol is a word or a thing that stands for something. And we can understand what that thing is through the symbol. So I want to give the children this symbol and ask you what it means. Do you know what that means? Okay, so we're going to have to work on this. They don't know what that is, all right? Can someone help them out?
Heart.
It's a heart which stands for?
Love.
Yeah. So if you want to say, I love you, then you can make that kind of symbol. Can you do that? You guys are not doing it. Yeah. Huh? Okay, so come up and do it for them. Okay. All right, so no corrections. So anyway, it's a heart and it stands for love. Now there's something else that is in this room that, well, actually many things in this room that stand for something. Can you look around and tell me one that you see? A symbol. There you go. The candle. The candle is a symbol, right? And Simon and his family came up and they read scripture and then they lit the first candle, which is a symbol of hope. Today is the Sunday, the first Advent Sunday, and we are lighting a candle to remember the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Now I want to read you a verse here today in the book of John chapter 8, and it's verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so this is a very easy symbol to understand, isn't it? When it's dark, we need light. And so Jesus is the light that we need in the darkness we have around us, right? And darkness sometimes can make us afraid because we can't see. But because Jesus is the light of the world, we can always see and we never need to be afraid. He came into the world, into this darkness, with all the sin and all the problems, and he brought his light into the world to bring hope. Can you remember that? Let's say Jesus is hope. Can we say that? Jesus is hope. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. We praise God today for this first Sunday in Advent to remind us through the symbol of the candle lighting of hope that Jesus is the light of the world. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you that you sent your Son Jesus into this dark world so that there would be light. In the beginning, you said, let there be light. And there was light. And so you are a God of light. And you are light, and we thank you that we can always remember that. We also thank you that you have given us a heart that we can love people with and that we can be your light in that way, that we can shine brightly because you said the disciples are the light of the world. And so we pray in thanksgiving to you today that you've given the privilege to us to be the light that would shine in this world and give all people hope because of you. We pray that you'll bless the children today. Help them to always remember Jesus is the light. He's not just a candle lighting. He is the light. And the darkness has no power over it because your light is eternal and more powerful than anything in this world. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless the children. Help them to remember Jesus. And we pray also, Lord, that you'll bless them as they go to have their lesson now, that it will be filled with light, and that they will see you in the words that they hear, written in the Bible, and also taught to them by their leaders. We pray, Father, for the parents of the children, that they would also know that in life there is light always there, shining brightly, because Jesus is the light. And we pray the same for our church, that we would always remember that you are the light. We pray, God, that you also illuminate the word that is going to be read now, that our minds and our hearts and our souls would be filled with your light, that all of the truths that we hear in your word will help us to be able to see, and that there won't be any darkness any longer, Lord, but everything will be clear before us, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. We thank you, we praise you, and give honor to your name. Bless your servant as they read your word now, and the children are dismissed. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, brother, sister. Scripture reading today, Jeremiah 33:14-16. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to you, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be safe, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. This is the words of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God.
I made copies today for all of you. If you don't have one, please raise your hand and we'll get one to you. You're going to need these scriptures today for the sermon because there's a lot of them. And I think it's much easier for you to follow along on a sheet of paper with me so that you have those scriptures in front of you. And for those who are at home, I made this today and I didn't send it out with the others. So I'd like to just take a couple of minutes. And I'd like for you to prepare yourself with a pen at home, and I'm going to read the scripture titles for you, the name and the chapter and the verses, so that you can also turn to those as we go along. So I'm just going to begin. The first one, of course, is Jeremiah 33:14-16, which we just heard read. The next one is Jeremiah 23:5-6. Jeremiah 23:5-6, and then you can also write down Isaiah 4:2, and then 2 Samuel 23:5, Isaiah 11:1-5, and actually verse 10 as well, Isaiah 11:1-5 and verse 10, and then Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 7:14, Psalm 51:14, Psalm 51:14, and there's only three more, Romans 2:16-17, Romans 2:16-17, Romans 3:21-26, and Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Okay, so let's get into it. This powerful scripture that we heard read by Pat today for our scripture today is from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he was called to go to the people of Israel and to call them back to God. He was called to the people of God, and he was calling them to repentance, that they would come back to God, return to God from the idol worship that they were caught up in, return to God from listening to false prophets. And many people did not listen, and they harmed Jeremiah for it. They punished him. They beat him. They threw him into a pit with mud to quiet him and to get him out of the way. They didn't want to hear about God's message for them. They didn't want to hear anyone telling them what to do. And so that is the man who is writing these words of prophecy. But these words of prophecy are good news that he's giving, that despite all of the sin of the people there, that God is going to bless those who believe in him, that are the remnant, those few that really truly believe in him. And so he gives them this message. It's, again, 33:14-16, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Okay. Now, you'll see in the verses that come before that on your sheet, Jeremiah 23:5-6, that the word, it's very similar. Okay. This came before the prophecy that we are reading about today in chapter 33. It says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." And so you'll notice that there is a very, very important difference between the two of them. At the end of Jeremiah 23:5-6, we see that this is the name by which he will be called, and that stands for the king. Okay? He shall reign and will king this righteous branch. He shall reign as king and deal wisely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. But in Jeremiah 33, the one that we have today as our text, you'll see that it says, "And this is the name by which it will be called, the Lord is our righteousness." Not he will be called, rather it, meaning the people of God, Israel. That is Jerusalem. That is Zion. It will be called, the Lord is our righteousness. And so we see that God is raising up this righteous branch, this king who is going to convey his righteousness upon his people. And that describes the gospel of God for us today. That he himself is called the Lord of righteousness, but his people also, this is amazing, that they will also receive that name from their Savior, from the one, the righteous branch, and they will be called, it will be called the city of Zion where the people live. The Lord is our righteousness. And so there is great power in seeing this prophecy coming to be, right, through the Lord Jesus. And that is what this whole text is pointing to. And so today we're going to be looking at a couple of things. First of all, what it means, what the branch stands for. That is also a symbol, just like a candle is a symbol for the light that Jesus is and gives to us. But the branch is also a symbol in the Bible. And we're also going to be looking at righteousness, because it's the righteous branch that we hear about today. It's very exciting. The scripture is filled with anticipation and power of God at work in a world that is filled with darkness. Okay. And so the Lord is our righteousness, is the King. In Jeremiah 23, 5 to 6, the Lord is our righteousness, is the King, the branch. So that branch is the King, okay? And in Jeremiah 33, 14 to 16, the Lord is our righteousness, is our righteousness is for Zion, right? So it's also standing for the people of God. And so we have this situation where the people of God at that time that stood behind their belief in God, right, were actually scorned and looked down upon for their belief in God. They were looked down upon because they felt that it was senseless to think of there being such a God like this one. And they wanted to follow other gods, right? They were laughed at. But now the Lord is their right, these people that are the remnant, the Lord is their righteousness, and he is lifting them out from this downfall, this so-called scorn from around the people there. And this fallen dynasty, which is the kingdom, right, of that was led by God's kings, into the power of God and his compassion and his restoration. So we have to picture this whole overall picture that God is redeeming his people who live in a corrupt and dark world where there is no righteousness. And he comes in with this power and says that there is going to be this righteous branch coming out from this misery, out from this darkness, out from this situation where there seems to be no hope at all. And he lifts his people up, and not only that, but he names them, the Lord is our righteousness. So when we look at this first word, branch, what are we talking about? If you look down on your sheet, you'll see branch, the Davidic messianic offspring. And so what this means is the branch is pointing to the one, the Messiah, the Savior who would come from the line of David. The messianic line is offspring means that he is the chosen one. He is the anointed one. Messiah means anointed one. An anointed one means king. Right? He's anointed king. But he's not just anointed by in the way that we see things, he is anointed by God Almighty to be that Messiah, to be the anointed one who is coming to lead his people. And so to be able to understand this further, it's helpful to go to other scriptures that are filled with power of this message. In Isaiah 4:2, you can look on your sheet, Isaiah 4:2, in that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the land shall be the pride and honor of the survivors of Israel. And so we see that the branch of the Lord comes from the Lord. It's not from among people here. It's not this symbol or a king that is coming from human beings. He's coming from God. The Lord himself comes from him. The Messiah comes from him. And his reign is going to be beautiful and glorious. It's described in that kind of a way. Now, if you look at your verse in 2 Samuel 23:5, we believe that this idea of the branch, or at least part of the source of this word that is being used here, is coming from 2 Samuel 23:5. It says, "For does not my house stand so with God? For he has made me with an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure, for he will not cause to prosper all my help and my desire. For will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire?" And that word prosper also can be translated as branch out, to prosper. And so that gives us a good understanding of what this branch really means. It is the coming Messiah who is going to bring fruitfulness and prosper for the people. And that is what our Lord Jesus does. He brings this fruitfulness out of the darkness, out of the misery of sin, out of these situations where people have turned their backs on God. And this branch, this righteous branch, comes growing out and bearing fruit, just like a branch would bear fruit and bear leaves or bear fruit in trees that we see around us. But there is this exciting connection there in 2 Samuel 23:5. "For will he not cause to branch out all of my help and my desire," all of God's help and desire for his people, all the blessing that God wants to bring. And so that is what this anointed one, this Messiah, the righteous branch, is going to bring. Now, we see, so in this verse from 2 Samuel, the verb is going to be turned into a noun, right? To branch out becomes branch, the righteous branch. Let's take a look at another scripture. If you turn in your page to Isaiah 11, I'll read some verses from there. Actually, I'll read 1-5. I'll read verse 1 and 2, 4, 5, and 10. Okay, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. That's verse 1. Verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then go to verse 4, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And go down to verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, a sign for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. And so you see here is a continuation of the prophecy of this branch that we're talking about here, this righteous branch. There shall come forth a shoot or a branch from the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And so this stump of Jesse is important because Jesse is the father of David. And so the prophet is saying that the Messiah, the chosen one, the righteous branch is going to come from the stump of Jesse. Now, when you think of a stump, you can think of a tree that has been felled or chopped down, right? And the reason that this is important is because it shows that God takes from something that one would think is dead and unable to bring any kind of fruit or grow anymore, this righteous branch that is going to be brought from that situation. And so therein, if you really want to know what that light of hope stands for, it's right here. That there is no situation that is known to us as people of God who are blinded by the things that we see around us and don't see really truly what God is doing, that he takes from a fallen tree, a stump, this beautiful branch that springs out from it. It shoots forth, and with that shooting forth is hope for all of mankind. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you feeling that today? Are you feeling like you're a stump? Are you feeling like there's something in your life that is just feeling like it's hopeless? There's too much going on. I've endured too much and things like that. That is exactly the word for you today. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And that is what God does in our lives. He bears fruit from what is dead. There's nothing that can stop it, because he's Almighty God. With righteousness he shall judge the poor. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. All these things are yours when you put your faith in Christ. And it may take time for these kind of words, this powerful word from God, to take root in you. Because you've been so hardened to the things in this world, and the things that you've endured just mean like there can't be any kind of breakthrough there, and I'm numb to them. But as you allow God's Spirit to work in your life, and the Holy Spirit does that, when you invite God into your life, the Holy Spirit comes and reminds you of the great hope that you have for every day. And it's found in the branch, the righteous branch, who is Jesus Christ. He won't judge by what his eye sees, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And so here we see a meaning of righteousness that we're anticipating that's going to come in a minute. But the righteousness of God means that we go out in compassion and love to the needy and the poor. So in righteousness, is also that desire to help others because God is our help. And because we are called, the Lord is our righteousness, we have no other choice. We have no other desire than to be his light in this world, to help the poor and the needy, the people who are without anything at all and have no hope. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loin. This anticipates what Paul was talking about when he's speaking of the armor of God. And then the last verse here in verse 10, in that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples of him, fire, and his resting place shall be glorious. This is a powerful word for us as well, because it says in that day the root of Jesse. It doesn't say the branch, but it says the root. So that means he came before Jesse. He's before Jesse. He's before any human being. He's before all of humankind, because humankind was created by God. So he's not just the branch that shoots forth, but he is the root of Jesse, upon which Jesse and the line is built. It is God's prophecy. It is God's covenant. It's God's promise to us that he is going to bring this almighty Messiah into the world to forgive people of their sins and to show compassion and love to people. And so a shoot from the stump of Jesse will bear fruit. One more verse in Isaiah is 7:14. It was mentioned today in one of the songs. The shoot who will come forth from this stump, from a fallen tree, will be the son of the virgin named Emmanuel. And herein we see the prophecy of the Virgin Mary being prophesied, and Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And it says here in 7:14, the shoot who will come forth from this stump, from a fallen tree, will be the son of the virgin named Emmanuel. And all of these things are being told by Isaiah and are being related by Jeremiah later to the people. And they're all hearing about these things, and they're hearing about how God is going to raise up these people. And it's igniting hope in the people of God who truly believe in him, that don't fall from their faith, that don't fall into the world's ways and listen to false prophets or to idol worship and things that draw us away from God. It's the branch, the righteous branch of God, that is coming and that brings immediately into this darkness hope forevermore. Righteousness. We've learned about the branch and what the branch is talking about, right? We understand that it's a shoot that comes out from a fallen tree, that God, with all of his power, but it's also the branch that is called the righteous branch. Righteousness is a powerful, powerful word. If you can spend time in the book of Romans, you will see this theme throughout the entire chapters of Romans. But what is righteousness? It is the essence of God. Righteousness is not a thing that God has in some way. He is righteousness. He is the essence, right? Righteousness is the essence of God. It means that he's perfect. It means that he's holy. It means that he is just. Justice is found in the Lord, this righteous God, right? In order to understand this better, we hear these things and we have this image of God, but it's also very helpful to know the meaning of righteousness in examples of what God has shown toward people in this world. One of the verses that came to me when I was preparing this sermon was found in Psalm 51. It's a great psalm. It's not just this psalm that David says, please forgive me, Lord, for my sins, because he had committed adultery. He had murdered a man. He had done these terrible things, and he goes to God and asks for forgiveness. But much more comes out from this psalm. And in verse 14, you'll read on your sheet, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Amen. Not just, Lord, I promise to follow you if you save me, if you forgive me. No, he intentionally brings out this word because he is this man who is chosen by God and given a covenant by God from his line. The Messiah was to come. And so he knows this word well. I will sing aloud of your righteousness. If you forgive me of my sins, that is what I will do. I will sing that there is righteousness. I will proclaim to the world that there is such a thing as righteousness in this world. There is such a thing as truth and justice, and it comes from Jesus Christ. It comes from our God. And so he was prophesying during this prayer of confession. Alan Ross is a scholar of the Bible, and he said that righteous can refer to God's true nature and how that manifests itself in his acts, right? You know what that means? So it's he's saying it can be God's essence. We could say God is perfect, he is righteous in that kind of a sense, but we can also learn from that word righteous how it manifests itself in God's actions, right? And here, David is asking for God's mercy upon him for the sin that he has committed. And he says, Lord, if you forgive me and you show forgiveness toward and compassion toward me, I will sing of your righteousness. Right? And so he will praise God for what his righteousness meant to him. It meant that he received compassion in return of his, for his confession of sin. Righteousness meant hope to continue to live for God's glory and praise, to continue on with life. Not to be taken from this world because of his sin, but to be given that life continuation through God's forgiveness, through his compassion. And the compassion of God comes from his righteousness. It's a lot to think about, this powerful word righteousness. What is that word really truly meaning? Well, here we can see it helps us to be able to understand that God's righteousness is shown and manifested in compassion. And when we think of God's compassion on us, there is no one else that we can think about except for Jesus Christ. He came as the manifestation of God's compassion toward us as sinners, that we would not die in our sins, but that we would be saved to give glory to him forevermore. And so how did God show this compassion? How does he show his righteousness? The Messiah, the branch, the righteous branch coming here, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therein is the greatest example of God's righteousness, and therein we learn what it means that God is righteous, and we want to look at that now in Romans. So turn to your sheet to Romans 2, 16 to 17. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the righteous branch. Now listen to these words and take them in. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is you want to memorize this verse, these verses here. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Why would we want to be ashamed of it, Paul is writing. Of course I'm not ashamed of it. It is the power of God to be salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek, for all people of all cultures, for all people of all nations. Right? For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. Now we need to remember this. When we talk about the love of God in the gospel and say it's the love of God, and we say for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We also have to understand that righteousness is at hand here. The gospel, those words, for God so loved the world, that is the manifestation of righteousness. For in it, the gospel, the love of God coming to earth through his son Jesus is the righteousness of God revealed. And so we see in Jesus Christ righteousness in a world that is unjust. We see Jesus Christ righteousness where there's no compassion and no mercy, where people are going to other gods and they're hating each other and committing terrible acts of sin. His righteousness comes into this world and shows us God. That is the power of God at work in this gospel. It is the righteousness of God revealed. And we are to have faith in that. The righteous shall live by faith. How are we to live? By faith. The righteous people of God, made righteous through Jesus Christ. We live in faith in a world where it's so hard to hold on to faith. And do you remember when I was saying that the people were ridiculed for talking about all these different things about God and how they worshiped him and how they wanted to maintain this relationship with him? The people at those times laughed at them. They laughed at them and said they were fools for thinking such fantasies. There's a guy who was in The Lord of the Rings, who was Gandalf maybe, the very wise man who was coming to rescue them all the time. Is that his name? The man who played that role in real life said that all of the Bible is a fairy tale. Now, he was in a film that was portraying in many ways things that are biblical, because the writer of those books was a Christian. But that actor himself came out and said, we all know that everything that we read in the Bible is just a bunch of fairy tales. And so we're not just talking about the time of Isaiah and Jeremiah, we're talking now. Right? And so it's very easy to think, and some people are swayed by famous people like him and thinking, oh, well, he's a famous guy and he's in this movie and he's important, so maybe he's right. I'll just believe what he does. But the Christian says, no, I will have faith in this world where people are mocking God. Right? It's not fairy tales, but we can make this connection here and see that those people at that time were hearing similar things like that. Okay? So we have faith in God, and we are going to be rewarded as being called the people of righteousness by God. And we'll see what that translates into. Look at the next verses in Romans 3:21-26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So he's saying here is that all of those prophets, these prophets that we're hearing from here, Jeremiah, Isaiah, were all pointing to the one that Paul believed in, right? It's been manifested apart from the law, not just the law. It's okay. The law is good, but it's the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So you see here that the righteousness of God has been manifested, right, in Jesus himself. He was the example of righteousness that came into the world, the righteous branch. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Jesus coming to earth, dying for you and me, was to show God's righteousness. Because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Do you remember David saying, Lord, forgive me, show compassion, show mercy on me, and I will proclaim your name. I will sing aloud of your righteousness. Here he is, we're seeing it here. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. He's forgiven us. He's passed over our former sins. He's forgiven us of our sins. And therefore, we will sing of his righteousness. We don't just say, thank you, Lord, you forgave me. We say, I will sing of your righteousness. Now I know what righteousness is. Now I know what truth is. Now I know what perfect means. You are perfect. You are God. You are more holy than all other people. Right? All these other gods, all these other things in the world, they don't match up to you. You are perfect in righteousness. It was to show his righteousness at the present time. Not just in the time of the righteous branch coming through the prophets. It's not just that, it's fulfilled in Jesus. He came and he manifested it and he showed God's promise as being true. so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And so he came here. It was showing his righteousness now at the present time, so he would bring justice into the world. Last verse comes from Romans 5:17. For it, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so he's talking about through Adam being the one who had sinned first in the world because of one man's trespass. Death reigned through him. Death came into the world. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life, not death, through the one man, Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel. And that is the reason for Christmas. And that is the reason for the second coming, that Jesus Christ is coming again to bring all of those who believe in him, that have stayed the test, that are remaining against all of this darkness in the world and remaining and persevering in their faith, they will receive the reward of joining with Christ together in heaven forever. And that is the story of Christmas. And that is the story that goes beyond Christmas. And we're looking at Christmas now to expect Jesus Christ, but we would be wrong to leave it there. We are not living in the first coming of Christ. That is something to be celebrated and is something to be singing hallelujah and rejoicing in, that God would manifest his righteousness through his son Jesus Christ to come into this dark world to save it from sin and to be killed on the cross. Righteousness is found in the cross. The righteousness of God. Think about that for a moment. What does that mean to you? The righteousness of God. It means that he's compassionate. It means that he's loving and kind, that he's willing to forgive in these moments where we are thinking of ourselves as falling short of the glory of God and not having any hope at all. But the righteousness of God is shown in his forgiveness of mankind, in putting his own son in the place of us on a cross to die, and then raising him up in victory so that we would share in that victory. It's amazing what God has given to us. Death reigned through one man. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, do you know Christ as your Savior? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death. And that is why God sent his son into the world, to save his creation, to save humankind from death. And so the offer is there today. Receive the abundance of grace that God offers to you. That even though you deserve death, even though you deserve to die, he looks down in love and grace and forgives you and shows mercy, just as he showed mercy upon David. And receive the free gift of righteousness so that you will also be called with all of God's people, the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is our righteousness. That is what we have here in all of the believers sitting here today, that we are called the Lord is our righteousness. Why? Because the Lord is righteous. And he has the power over life and death. And he offers life. And so if you haven't given your life to Christ yet, today is the day to do it. Today is the day to do it. It's a free gift of righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? It's like you've done something really terrible to someone and you don't want to see them. And then you run into them and they go over to you and they say, hey, how you doing? Oh, that? Oh, let's put that behind us. You're more important to me than what you did. I'm gonna love you anyway. We're good. We're good. And that's what God does with us. Come to him and we say, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for hurting you. I'm sorry for all the things that I've done. And then receive the gift of righteousness. That there is justice. That there is a loving God. And he chooses love over all other things because he is love. And that's why we have hope in darkness, and why we light these candles to remind ourselves that there is light even in darkness. Whatever you're going through in your life, you may be feeling like this is a period of time where everything's fine. That's great. But you still need God. You still need to have him in your life. Otherwise, you're not truly alive. Right? And so we're going to sing a response to ask God to turn our eyes upon Jesus, this branch, this righteous branch who's coming again. And he's coming in the clouds, as we heard last week, to free us and to bring us home once and for all, to be with him forever. And we will see him face to face. I'll read these verses again, these words again. Receive the abundance of grace. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, to say, Lord, I receive this abundance of grace, the free gift of righteousness, Lord, and give me life. Give me life as you intended it for me. I'm sorry for my sin. I want to follow you from now on, and you will be saved. You will be saved, and you will feel and understand the knowledge of God and the power of his righteousness in your life. Okay, so we're going to sing in our hymn books, number 104. The words were sent out to those on Zoom. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. Please rise and turn to hymn number 104. Sing both verses. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art, dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal Spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. O righteous God, we will never again think about the word righteous in any other way. There is only one who is righteous, and that is you. What a wonderful, wonderful gift you have given to us in your word today, Lord, to show us from so many years ago that your plan of salvation was put into place, never, never, ever to be threatened by any human king or person. Your love is unstoppable. Your righteousness is higher than anything in the world. And we turn to you humbly as your people now to pray to you that you would hear our prayers, that you would, Father, forgive us and help us, Father, in our sinfulness to repent and to turn to you fully, to relinquish control to you over our lives so that we would truly know where to go and what to do. We pray for your wisdom that you give so freely. Father, we pray that you'll help our minds and our hearts to be bent on living lives that are righteous ones, that are like Christ in all of our ways, so that when we are hurt, that we forgive. When we see the needy, that we reach out and provide them for their needs. That we meet with people who are outcasts of the world and show friendship and love, just as Jesus did. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to remember that the Holy Spirit filled Christ Jesus when he walked this earth and empowered him to love people and show compassion and mercy, and gave him the strength that he needed to go to the cross, to persevere, and to die for us. We thank you for the great hope that you have given to us. We pray, Father, that you'll help us to be reminded in times when loved ones pass away, Lord, that all of us have a beginning and an end to our lives here on earth. We pray that you'll help us to number our days, that you'll help us to think wisely how we use the time that we've been given so that we can make an impact in this world and share such incredible news that you have given all people the gift of your righteousness. The gospel is the power of God at work in people to show his righteousness, that there is so much more to life than the things that people seek for their own. We pray, Father, for this fallen world where people are self-seeking, where they desire power for themselves. They don't want to listen to God. They want to listen to their own hearts talking to them and telling them what to do. But we pray, Father, that you would help all people in every nation to know that it is life-saving to relinquish our lives and to give our lives over to Christ, letting you take complete control, and there we will find true life. We pray that you'll help us each day when we rise to make sure that we are thankful, that we are thankful for the breath of life that sustains us, and to know, Lord, that you are the one who has given us life. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us each day to think about you as being loving and forgiving so that we would live that way ourselves. We pray, Father, that you would help us to learn lessons from you in your words so that we can understand how to change our hearts, so that we would be filled with light, filled with the righteousness of God. We pray, Father, that you help us to always be considerate and kind, reaching out to those who are lost. Help us, Father, to give of our time. We pray, Father, that you will bless our missionaries who are in the field and going out to different nations. We pray, Father, that you'll bless their ministries, that they would not feel alone, that they wouldn't be lonely, Lord, that they would know that you are with them, but also that the people here in Grace Church are praying for them. We pray, Father, that you'll give them courage where courage is needed there. We pray, Father, for skills so that they can learn languages that they need to learn. We pray, Father, that you would open doors that are closed in countries where people are fighting, and when there is violence, and where there is persecution of Christians. We pray, Father, for your light to go out in power into the darkness to bring hope for all of the world. We pray, Father, In thanksgiving for the lives of Albert Wong and for Lam Yoshu, we thank you that both of them, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, though they may have died, yet they live. We thank you for the power of the gospel at work in their lives. And we thank you for their blessing us for the years that they were here serving in Grace Church. We pray now that you would comfort their families. We celebrate that Lamuel is reunited with his wife, Ruth. We pray, Father, that you will help us as we reflect on their passing, on our own lives here on earth. How are we spending our time? How are we using the time that we have in the church? How are we exercising the gospel in our lives with one another? Help us to change, Lord, where we need to be changed. Lord, we just thank you for Grace Church and for the light that you have provided for this church through your Holy Spirit in this community. And we pray that you'll use Grace Church and raise up more and more people, just like Lamuel and Albert, who believe in you and desire to give you praise. We pray, Father, that you will continue to guide our church and the leadership in our church. We pray for the deacons, and we pray, Father, for the nomination process, that you would raise up leaders who are willing to sacrifice themselves for the greater glory of God. We pray, Father, that you'll be with all of our teachers and the people that are leading youth group and children's ministry and the adult ministry, that they will continue to teach your word. We pray, Father, for the sick today, and we ask for your healing upon their lives in the name of Jesus, the great physician. We pray, Father, for those who are struggling with mental illness, Lord, to let them know that they are deeply loved and that there is hope for them as well. And that there is no darkness, that your light cannot break through. And so, God, we thank you for your message of hope today, for this branch, this fruitful branch that shoots up from a dead stump to show your great power and your life-giving power. And we give honor to your name and ask that you will bless us now and keep us close to you, Lord. May thy will be done in our lives. And you be given glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I often regard myself as a stump, but I also feel there's still a shoot that is still trying to grow. And I know we all feel that way too. So now is the time for offering. Please come forward. You can drop it in the offering bag, and you can also Zelle into church. Allow me to pray for this offering. You, Lord, are our righteousness. In you, Lord, there is light and darkness. Help us to live out your righteousness in our day-to-day, to also be thankful in every way, to be compassionate all the time, despite what is happening in the world around us. So, Lord, please accept the gifts we humbly give to you. Use it for your glory, to further your ministry, to let your light shine, and let your righteousness be go forth in this world around us. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Welcome again. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope we all didn't eat too much, you know, because we have to stay healthy, right? So we can go on and let the light shine around us, right? And through us. So I'm thankful that my mom is here today. And so, worshiping with me today. Let's greet one another and let's tell each other how thankful we are for one another. Mommy. Okay. So announcement time. Today we have children's ministry and we have life prep classes for both youth and adults. Please stick around. And I think there's some leftover food downstairs from yesterday. So you definitely want to stick around for coffee. Okay. Mark the dates. In your bulletin, there is a bunch of things. Oh, today is December 1st. Happy December as well. Hey, bunch of things happening in December. Look through it. I want to point out there's a Christmas event on December 7th, Saturday, a day of hope and worship that Lee Chan Simu is organizing. There will be youth fellowship twice on Saturdays, on the 14th and 21st. There will be Newbridge Medical Center volunteering at the hospital and Christmas candlelight service on the 24th Christmas Eve. Pastor, do we know the time? 7:30 candlelight service. Okay. And then we head into the new year. Grace Festival Choir. It is not too late to join today if you want to sing in choir. There's quite a few folks from the Chinese side singing. From the English side, if you are still thinking, you can still join today. And there's a special need missions donation to Kenny Chow, Pastor Kenny Chow. It's a free will donation. Please think about him and his family at this time, and it's in the bulletin. And finally, I want to announce that you all probably heard by now that Elder Lemieux Hsu has passed away. There will be more details to come. Pastor will let us know throughout this week. And he is not just one of the founders of OCM Grace Church. He is also one of the him and Auntie Ruth, who also passed away already. They were the founding members along with the original Reverend Tori Shi of the OCM Main Church in Chinatown. So please keep Lemieux Hsu's family, all his children and grandchildren in mind. But God has called him home. Amen. Pastor, will you please give us the benediction?
Please rise. I'm going to read you words from a powerful scripture in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 13. According to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today your daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. You are the light of the world. Brothers and sisters, go and be God's light. Amen.